Nice. तादृशानां स्वजनव्यपेक्षया गृहान् प्रति आदरवास्थितात्मनम् येभ्याः गतां वक्रं दियविचक्षते आरोपित भ्रुवीर अमार्शन आक्षिवि
Pratiyat,
one should go. anabhasthita, disturbed. Atmanam, mind. Jay, those. Abhyagatan, guests. Bakradiya, with a cold reception. Abhichakrate, looking at. Aropita, Bhruvi, with raised eyebrow. Amarshana, angry. Akshabihi, with the eye. Translation, all parts. One should not go to anyone's house, this is Lord Shiva talking to Sati. One should not go to anyone's house, even on the consideration of his being a relative or a friend, when the man is disturbed in his mind and looks upon the guest with raised eyebrows and angry eyes. However low a person may be, he is never unkind to his children, wife, and nearest kin. Even a tiger is kind to its cubs. For within the animal kingdom, the cubs are treated very nicely. Since Sati was a daughter of Daksha, however cruel and contaminated he might be, naturally, it was expected that he would receive her very nicely. But here it is indicated by the words anabhasthita that such a person cannot be trusted. Tigers are very kind to their cubs, but it is also known that sometimes they eat them. Malicious persons should not be trusted, because they are always unsteady. Thus, Sati was advised not to go to her father's house because to accept as a father as a relative and to go to his house without being properly invited was not suitable. So this is a long story in Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava relations. I mentioned before, the fourth canto is already very advanced. It's supposed to be, stay with the first two cantos unless you can follow four principles nicely, and then, there's more intense stories, intense activities here. And, everything is going along. Basically, the main line here is this genealogical thing. The different Manus and their children, their daughters. Now we're on the second daughter of the first Manu, Swayambhu Manu. We've covered Devahuti and her children. Now on the third daughter, actually. And then the second daughter, Akuti, she married who? Ruchi. Yeah, they had Yagna for a son, like that. And he became the Manu, Indra. And then now we're on Prasuti. And why was her daughter, who was, commit suicide before she was even old enough to have children, like that very little girl? So here's the whole story about how Daksha was contaminated with this arrogant attitude. Right? He became proud because of what? Why was he proud? Yeah, because he was a chief Prajapati. Yeah, support. He was supported in his position by Brahma, right? So maybe you might criticize this. Many questions come up like this. You might ask, Brahma should have been intelligent enough not to give him this authority, right? Brahma should have seen, if I give this my son this authority and support him like this, he's going to become materially contaminated with propped up over his possessions like that, and he's going to start, insulting sadhus and, things like that, right? So is it Daksha's fault or is it Brahma's fault? Or both? Or either one. Because Krishna doesn't control everything, right? So it's his fault. And he should never have created living beings. He never should have created living beings, right? But in favor of that, God should annihilate everybody. Forget man. What's it called? Tatastha Shakti was a mistake. I should only have the Antaranga Shakti. Right? The marginal potency of the jivas was a mistake. Right? I shouldn't have done that. Right? No? Can't answer that, can you? I should know everything, no? Many questions you have to answer. About free will, responsibility, like that. Authority. How to arrange things nicely. Right? And then even in the spiritual world, people are fighting. We've had this discussion for a long time. Yeah, who does Radharani fight with? And Krishna, and probably her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law, everybody's fighting. But the example is given is that you know, two people may be fighting in the war in Iraq and shooting at people who are shooting at them and, you know, trying to kill them and everything else like that, and very angry at them. You know, it's not a nice thing. And afterwards, everybody hates everybody. And they come back and the same two people are doing a tennis club. Now they're fighting, you know, again, you know, with tennis balls and each other like that. Or they may even, you know, join some kind of, you know, martial arts group, karate club or something, or a boxing thing, and maybe be hitting it physically, you know, striking each other and even drawing blood, and, you know. But there, it's fun, right? It's a sporting event, you know, and football and all these kind of things, right? Yeah, sports. And if it's not physical, then there's, you know, you can play bridge and, you know, card games and compete with people like that. But there, when it becomes too heavy and too intense, and you're really concerned about the other person. If you hit somebody and they start kind of staggering, you grab and you say, "I'm sorry, you okay? You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, let's go. All right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah." So there's a big difference in the fighting in the spiritual world and the fighting in the material world. And there's a big difference in the fighting in the fourth canto and the fighting in the third canto and the second canto and the first canto. Right? Yeah. You know, this kind of fighting is only for people who follow the four principles. Otherwise, go back to the first two cantos and fighting that kind of fighting. And maybe you're not in that platform. There's no problem. First two cantos are still Krishna, right? You know. So, you know, for example, one time I was in San Francisco, first coming as a devotee in San Francisco, and again I was coming out of this American and hippie, you know, 1970s environment, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That was the motto of the era. I wasn't involved in all those things. It was a horrible time, you know, in terms of bad habits and everything else like that, you know, crazy. But also that's what how the Hare Krishna movement took birth, because, you know, people were looking for, you know, everything, you know, and trying out everything. And they said, well, okay, let's try out Hare Krishna too, you know, LSD and Hare Krishna, you know. And so somehow or other, you know, Krishna was able to deal with that problem. So I came to the temple. I was going to Mongol Arctic sometimes. And then I was seeing Radha Gokulananda. That's the deities in Berkeley, in San Francisco. And they're about the same size as Radha Mantabihari. They're about the same size like that. You know? So I used to see them like this, dress and everything, with effulgences and crowns and costumes, you know. But then they were painting at one time like that, you know. So then they opened the doors up for Mongol Arctic, and they didn't have any clothes on except for just like, you know, just like most simple cloth like that, Radharani and Krishna. And I was thinking, my God, you know, this is, I never saw them like Krishna like this and God like this before, you know. Other people would even be on the altar normally. And so after about just 5 minutes, one of the pujaris just, without permission or anything else, would kind of close the doors like that. And they don't want everybody to say, yeah, it was correct, from the Kamatavi. And yeah, we shouldn't have had them open, I guess, like that. So on. So it was a fact, you know, for people like me, it was just, I wasn't ready for that, you know. So different people are ready for different things, you know. And so, you know, what's Prabhupada's basic offer? What's the basic offer Prabhupada gives? What do you think it is? You know, the introductory offer of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And? Yeah, and? What's the result? Chant Hare Krishna and? Be happy. So it's a complete deal. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So there's an austerity. You gotta chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. Right? So it's a basic offer. It actually doesn't change. There's no change, you know. But it just expands itself or refines itself or goes on like that. You know? I've been in different situations at ISKCON where I've been crying, right? Now, ladies may cry a little more easier, but you know, to make a grown man cry takes like a lot of distress, you know. Usually like that, you know. Children, ladies cry easier, but men, you know, it's like so. So sometimes, boy, it was so difficult, you know, with the devotees and the temple and the situation like that, just like, oh, unbelievable. You know? Not just myself, I mean, a lot of people, so on. So, you know, I just, okay, back to square one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I remember one time, I was in the offices of a certain institute in ISKCON, which begins with a BH. And it was a heavy program that was going on, and one devotee who was famous for being a mental, you know, highly mental, distressed person, and big thinker and everything else in ISKCON, was really, you know, frustrated and, you know, chastising me and everybody else about things that were happening and on like that, you know. And it got so, like, oh, just successful. It's funny is that it's because it's right in the middle of a public meeting, just because it's like all of everything, this chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I was like, you know, like, you know, finally let this, you know, it's like Draupadi. You know, she Draupadi wanted to maintain her honor in this public assembly, right? You know, she wanted to show everybody, you know, that she was a tough girl. You know, you can't treat me like this. I'm a king's daughter. Who do you think you are? You know, well, I'm 275 pounds heavier than you. That's who I am, for one thing. You know, 6 feet taller. My muscles are the size of your waist. You know, well, I don't care. You know, so she wanted to maintain her honor, you know, personal honor and stuff like that. And so on. But Krishna didn't want her to. You know, Krishna, in terms of her part in the Mahabharata, her education, he wanted her to fully surrender everything to him. You know. So finally, she didn't have to. She could have kept struggling and everything else, you know. But finally, she took shelter of Krishna. She just abandoned everything and realized, okay, you know, forget the honor, forget the prestige, forget the shyness, you know. And so she surrendered, and then Krishna was ready. He was ready all along, but she actually couldn't do it until she, you know. You know, the story is that Lakshmi was in Vaikuntha with Krishna or Radharani and saying, well, you know, she's calling for you, you know, help her. She's saying, you know, oh Govinda, Krishna, help me. He says, yeah, but she's only praying with one hand. Right? With one hand she's saying, Govinda, help me, Govinda, help me, help me. Help me maintain my honor, my prestige, my vanity for my body, my heritage, these things. Yeah, so Krishna doesn't want to do that because that's all illusion, it's all stupid, you know, it's all petty, mundane. So finally, when she took, you know, put both hands in the air, let go of everything, hey Govinda, and then Krishna took responsibility like that. Yeah. So, you know, back to square, well, back to story. So Rasaraj in the Bhaktivedanta Institute was like beating on me, psychologically and verbally. And so Abhimanyu was there, our president. So simply, it's gone for a long time like that, different things like that, relationships, and you know, so, you know, you have these complicated relationships. You know. Of course, I deserved it to some degree also. You know. So one way I just kind of gave up, it's just chanting like that, and Hare, you know, just released all these things, and almost crying publicly in front of two men. That, you know, very horrible thing. Sometimes he would lie on the couch just saying over and over again, I hate myself, like that. You know, so his mind would torture everybody equally. It would also torture him and other people also. You know. Yeah. So he's one of, actually I would say, I mean, ISKCON, one of my closest friends in ISKCON. Yeah. But a very different mentality, you know, like that. A very different mentality in some way. So anyway, I just walked out of the room at a point that I just couldn't stand. I went outside, just walked out of the building, and, you know, in Krishna's kingdom. I turned the corner, went down Carl Street, and there was a nice corner, and sat down in the corner under a street light and started chanting, and you know. So what happens? What are the results of Sankirtan? Name five or six results in Sanskrit right in a row, starting with it purifies the heart. The hint here. Chetodara paramarjanam. Bhavamahadabhagnirvapanam. Shreyakairavachandrikavitanam. Vidyavadavivanam. These are all, this is Shikshastaka. All of our philosophies. That verse appears in the Upadeshanamrita. It's worth memorizing, worth meditating on. This is what you get. What do you get for chanting? Purifies the heart, purifies our intelligence. Who am I? And when that's there, then I no longer identify with the body and the world. I don't suffer material distress. You know, then what? Chitta-vartanam-marjanam, bhava-mahata-bhagni-nirvapanam. Shriya-koi-rava. I already got that one. Shriya-koi-rava. What's a koi-rava? It's a white lotus. Shreya, Koirava, Chandrika, Vitaranam. Yeah, like the moon, Chandrika. It spreads the rays, moon-like rays of the lotus of good fortune. So to quote by Sheshaka here, he says, if you got the lotus of good fortune, what else do you need? Right? Hey, look, the lotus of good fortune. Okay. Now, what do you get for Christmas for the man who has the lotus of good fortune? I don't know, some water. You know. So yeah, I mean everything, you know, I mean good fortune, Shreya, auspiciousness, long term auspiciousness. Then what? Huh? Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah, yeah, Vadu means wife. Vidyavadu Jivanam becomes the life and wife of knowledge. It goes on like that. You can meditate on these things. It's kind of progressive. And so then, yeah, you just chant, you chant. So you take shelter of Krishna and chant, and unless you're so offensive to Krishna, he won't deal with you. And he's a pretty kind guy. You know. Then you start getting knowledge, and slowly, okay, your intelligence starts clarifying what to do, who am I, how to deal with these problems, like that. It's like sometimes sitting there, my intelligence got kind of clarified and everything else. And as it's gone on for some time, that's the point I made this decision. Really, I couldn't work with the Bhaktivedanta Institute, like as an administrator involved in it anymore like that, because this wasn't, wasn't a good situation for a variety of reasons. So, but at the same time, too, we had this conference. I think that right time we had this conference going on, first international conference on the study of consciousness within science, like that. You know. That was a wonderful conference. Two Nobel laureates came, Sir John Eccles and George Wald, and many very, very famous scientists and stuff, you know, very famous people. Ross Raj organized all these fantastic people. It was a very significant international conference. And so, Ross Raj, as a reward for people participating, wanted them to be able to, working on it, to be able to participate in the conference in different ways. So he wanted me to be able to be there and stuff. I've been doing different things. I didn't really want to be there because it's such a kind of boring topic in some ways. So he said, no, you got to come. So I came for one session, and I was the doorkeeper, kind of like at that job, and I helped George Wald, Nobel laureate, hang up his coat. I don't know if I can say that, but I've hung up a coat for a Nobel laureate. And different things. And so, for example, it was the second or first most horrible conference I've ever been to in my life, from my point of view, most distressful. Because, for example, one of the topics was consciousness one of the elements of the array of the state vector at the origin of the universe? What do you think? This is scientists trying to understand consciousness. Well, your cat's conscious. So it was such a distressful thing for me hearing people trying to talk about these things in this way. But other people can deal with it. Like Rasaraj, Sadaputa, Subdhamanamaras, they can deal with this kind of conversation. Another time I heard Mother Divya Drishti, Sankirtan devotee. She used to collect about $400 to $500 a day in the good old days. That was probably about $800 a day now. And of course it was mixed with very passionate modes, which later on were exposed and got kicked out. But they are very sincere people. So Sunday Feast in Berkeley is sitting there, and back in the prasadam room, which is about probably four times the size of this room, and the temple room is about the front again like that. So I was talking, maybe 400 people would come to Sunday Feast because they had 14 preparations. It was free. Okay, why not, So, they were coming. So anyway, I was talking to one of your boys from the university, and talking about the Krishna consciousness, and he finished his prasadam and went in for the kirtan after the program. So I was finishing my prasadam, and then Brahmacharya, the Divyadrishti was about this far away, and talking to one very nice-looking college girl. And she's going on. Of course, I'm just kind of like naturally hearing what's going on. It's kind of nice preaching, interesting preaching, what she's saying, explaining the philosophy. And this girl's listening and going, oh, wow, it's interesting, And then she comes to her it's called, the sales is called her closer, closing line, we call it, closing thing. Mother Divya Drishti said, and you know what's really nice about Krishna consciousness? And this college girl said, no, what is it? She said, when you go out, you don't have to worry if your makeup's on right or not. Your makeup is on correct or not. And so I was like, is shocked, I was expecting something really like, wow, something really, incredible, Krishna conscious. This is like, but then this colleague girl said, wow. And I realized that, if you're a lady in this society, really in this society, you have to have a pretty little dress, you have to keep your face nice, you have to smile, you have to say, yes, sir, Mr. Crothers, I'll have the paper done by 4 o'clock, yes, sir, like that. You have to have this whole front, this whole impression. You have your second-class citizen, and on like this. You have to make us please the men. Just even still, less than before. If you meet a society of people who don't really care about that, they don't care like your superficial appearance so much. They should be decent. you know, chicken bones in your hanging out of your mouth or something. But you know, as long as you're clean and just pleasant person, ordinary person, and people they care about you. You know, they want to know what kind of person you are. You know, what your character is, things like that. That's amazing. It's unusual. You know, so I was realizing that different people have different lives, different situations, and that different things are important to different people. You know. So anyway, back to Bhakti Vanishtha up here. So I decided, I realized, you know, this situation is not a proper situation for me and preaching. And I did a lot of important things, you know, in the institute, getting it started and stuff like that. So then I went back to the room, you know, with my intelligence purified and deal with the situation. And Rasaraj was very, you know, I was expecting to be like still like angry and disturbed, you know. But he was kind of more peaceful and calm about things and was talking about things reasonably. And I was explaining what my attitude was. Let's go through this Congress and finish it off. At least I don't want to leave in the middle of that, you know, and stuff like that. But after that, really, I think it's just not going to work out so well. I'm involved in the Institute this way, you know, maybe some other way, you know, like that. Well, no, you just don't worry, it's okay, and so on. So then later on, I found out that after I left, Abhimanyu told Rasaraj, if you keep torturing Hanuman Swami this way, I'm going to push you through the window. And it was a second story window. So that's right. Calm down anyway. So you know, these things are going on in ISKCON, right? This is a regular standard Hare Krishna situation like that, you know? And probably everybody to some degree feels that, you know, I'm the victim, right? I'm the victim. And everybody else is picking on me, you know. One time, Johnny Voss and Mayapur, the brothers, you know them? Johnny Voss and Panchangi, they're twins. There's a comment that Prabhupada said they came from the spiritual world to help this movement. And there are many things that may suggest it's true, you know. So anyway, one time somebody gave him these Jagannath deities down away from the Mayapur temple, the main temple. And very old deities, they actually belonged to one, you know, associate of Lord Chaitanya. But some of the temple had fallen into complete disrepair. It was a little place like that. But still very potent, and this man couldn't take care of them, they're getting old, so he really wanted the devotees in ISKCON to take responsibility for that. So finally the devotees agreed, well, okay, we're stressed ourselves, but what can we do? Okay. So they're doing this, there was no pujari, I think some like this first initiated devotees were staying down there and you know, taking care of it. But at least for example, some of the pouring programs and stuff, the regular Brahmin had to come down and take care of them, do the bathing and stuff like that. So Janani Vas said that he was going back and forth on a bicycle, you know, every day and coming back and forth. It probably takes about, I don't know, maybe like half an hour each way. Huh? Yeah, it's not too near either, you know, yeah. If you're walking, it's 45 minutes, I think, something like that. So maybe like at least 20 minutes every day, you know. He's going back and forth. And he said he was feeling very abused and exploited, that he had to go back every day and do this and back and forth. I'm very sorry for himself. Nobody loves me. Everybody's picking on me. So he was going back on his bicycle one evening, feeling like this, you know. And out of the sky, he hears this voice, you know, of Lord Jagannath saying, "Thank you, Janani Vas." Very like, sarcastic, you know, like that. You know. And he almost fell off the bicycle. Like it was such a, you know, experience like that is, you know, stuff, you know. And he realized it was a fact. He was just like, you know, like sorry for myself, everybody picking on me. What am I doing? I have to ride a bicycle 20 minutes back and forth, you know? So on, you know? The big austerity you have to do it, you know? And so, you know, every situation we tend to think we see things from our point of view, you know? And as we more we become Paramatma realized, then we see things from, you know, the general point of view much better, like that, you know? Prabhupada said that you're self-realized when you can explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in such a way that whoever you talk to can understand it. That's the Paramatma. Whoever you meet, you can relate to them like that, you know, properly. So maybe not in that level, you know. And so, you know, all these stories here, all these things, and different impressions, and, you know. And so then, you know, my experience, you know, being in these situations, which are the same you find here, it's the same society, the same thing. If you're not ready for it, to start to deal with this, like in terms of your intelligence and making adjustments and making plans and things like that, then what you should do, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, like that, right? Yeah, and Krishna will take charge of your chariot. Janivasa probably was trying to explain the puja for Radha Madhava and Mayapur to him, and he said, okay, then you should do this, you should do that, you should offer this and that. And he couldn't quite understand. The Prabhupada said, I should do that, then do this and that. He said, no, first this, then that, then this and that. He said, wait, so Prabhupada, I'm still not sure that I should do this, then that, and then what about if that happens and this? The Prabhupada said, well, just offer everything to me and I'll take care of it. Like that. So then you offer everything to Guru, this picture. And there's so many rituals, and there's actually somebody taking care of it. It's really going to Krishna, right? But we're not nowhere as qualified to approach Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't feel qualified to approach Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, Raghunath Das Goswami. So are we qualified to approach Lord Chaitanya? No way. You know. Yeah. So you know, we're by His mercy, we're qualified to approach Srila Prabhupada. Right? He's like Lord Shiva. Right? We're hearing that yesterday. Lord Shiva felt distress when he remembered Daksha's bad character. You know? So Prabhupada feels distress at the things we're doing, right? You know, because he comes into this mode like that to deal with these things. And so he has to get some, you know, reality here. But, you know, he's always connected to transcendental reality, and it's by his own choice that he does these things, right? That he suffers this on our behalf. You know? So that's another kind of happiness, you know, like that. You know? So very subtle, you know. And so here's a complicated story, and Sati's, and if you know the story, Sati's going back and going, she hasn't done that yet, but she's taking the role of being a, you know, a young girl who hasn't been in her father's house for a long time, and all of her sisters are going and dressed up beautifully for the party, and wearing nice clothes and earrings and, earrings, yeah. And regular rings, finger rings, and toe rings, and ankle bells, and with bright eyes, and it's going to be a very fun party. Maybe to talk to everybody else. Maybe refreshments, entertainment, and a chance to, you know, worship Krishna. I think we're right by her residence. It turns out, you know, so she's feeling very disturbed. She wants to go to her daddy's house and see all these things, and you know, she wants to put on the ornaments that her father gave her, because Lord Shiva didn't give her any ornaments. She lives in a very simple place like that, you know. Probably she doesn't mind, but probably she's feeling, you know, in this role, she's feeling embarrassed in front of her sisters that she lives in such a simple house. She lives in a trailer park. Right. She lives in a trailer park, with a third-hand trailer like that with her husband. So it's very, you start getting into realizing it's her situation. So she's feeling disturbed, and so she knows the situation, and she knows that basically is not a good thing. So she doesn't ask Lord Shiva, you know, if she can go, but she says, if you want to go, then I can go, like that. You know, so, you know, what's he saying? He remembers it, but externally also, he's also, for her sake, he's acting like, he's telling her, he's giving her some higher advice, that you're saying if he's a relative, and anybody can go to a relative's house and invite him, but he's a malicious person. You know, what's the Sanskrit word for malicious? The principal text here. Where is it? Malicious. The mind is disturbed. Yes, co-reception, looking at. What does it say? It says, anavastika, that's the word? Anavastika. Yeah, and the purport, there we go. Yeah, probably the same word. Many times, probably just focuses on one or two words. Yeah. But here the word is anavastika. What does that mean? Anybody know? Yeah, it's mine. Anabhasita mana. Yeah. Stita. Stita dirmuni. Stita dirmuni. Yeah. Anabhasita. Yeah. Anva. Yeah. So gradually, we appreciate people. Yeah. And when somebody's mind is, again, when their mind is not in the proper condition, then you know, try to relate to them. There's one famous psychologist, R.D. Lang. You know, he wrote a book, pretty famous. It was called The Politics of Experience, back in the 1970s. You read that? No. Yeah. It's pretty popular. And later on, when he's retiring after his long career, he wrote a book called The Voice of Experience, like that. Really not very intelligent, very Krishna conscious, you know, view of things. So the idea was that you know, many crazy people, we got to like cure them, we got to get them fixed up so they can work in society. And he had a very unpopular position, which is that most insanity in the modern world is a sane response to an insane situation, to an insane society, an insane world. The world you've created is insane, and so most of these crazy people are not crazy, you're crazy. In the world you've created crazy. And there, you know, you give an example of one girl, she's like, you know, 12 years old. She lives in Soho. In Soho? Yeah, the lower part of London. It's a terrible slum area. She's 12 years old. Her mother's been divorced twice. She has now a third man living there with them, helping out with the bills and staying there. And then every night, this guy is, you know, sexually molesting her 9-year-old sister, like that. And her sister's screaming, begging not to be molested. Her mother won't do anything about it because she doesn't want to lose the guy. So what does a 12-year-old girl do? Yeah. Goes crazy. So this is a sane response to an insane situation like that. So you get him out of the situation and put him in a proper situation, and then, you know, the social worker starts going into the situation, correcting the situation in the family, and explaining life in general to the little girl, and then finally she begins to realize, okay, this is, you know, this is the world, but, you know, there's always somebody to help, and if I need to, I should have gone to this authority, and I could have prayed to God, ultimately. And she comes back to sanity and realizes, okay, I can face this now. And the next time I won't be disturbed by this. I'll know what to do. You run to an authority and you complain like that. Wow. You know? So, yeah, we had very great success in curing people who were insane. And the society didn't like it. They didn't like him. But he was a pretty powerful guy. He was in charge of a 200-bed hospital, mental hospital. So they couldn't, like, just shut him up. So this is, you know, is it. You know, in these insane situations. And you know, we always have a friend, right? Krishna. We always chant Hare Krishna. Then beyond that, if you get intelligence, you can deal with the situation, you know, more and more advanced fashion. And what's the intelligence? Here it is. You can read the book. You can apply it in your life. Have experience. And you become more and more intelligent. Actually, you don't become more intelligent. Your natural intelligence reawakens. And we offer our basis to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who amplified the potent spiritual knowledge within the heart of Brahma and made himself realized. It's already there, right? But, you know, these things stimulate it. You remember how to deal with a situation. Oh, yeah, this is what, this kind of situation. Yeah, I know, yeah, sati, daksha, this person, that person, okay, whatever. Yeah. And you find your role. Maybe you're sati, maybe you're daksha, maybe you're somebody else, maybe you're, you know, Brigamuni, maybe you're the ribus. You know, what do the ribus do? The ribus? In Bhagavatam's calling, who are the ribus in this story? The ribus. You don't know them. So finally, Saki goes there, huh? Huh? No, that's somebody else. Yeah. So what happens is that Nandi and all of his followers, you know, they first off, they insult Saki. Saki gets insulted, burns her body up, and her followers are Kendra and Nanda. Nandi and others become so angry at these people, what they did is they start attacking them and smashing them and beating them up like that. And then Brigamuni runs real quick to the southern side of the fire, says some mantras, tosses in some ghee, and out come screaming the ribus, who are demigods who specifically protect ritual sacrifices, and then drive away Nandi and his followers like that. So, die, Brigamuni ki, you know, so on. So, okay, that's somebody, you know, it's a big drama, right? You can find your place in this drama. Okay, I'll be a ribu, right? You know. This fight's going on in ISKCON like this and that. Maybe this is Abhimanyu and there's a Rasaraj or something, and he's like, you know, you're disturbing Prabhu, you're disturbing the normal function of the temple. And I don't care what you guys are talking about. Anybody should be able to come to Mangala Arati because you're too crazy. Anybody should be able to come to Sunday Peace because you're too crazy. Now this fight between you people is causing this problem. And so, look at, you know, I'm a ribu. We just make sure the regular program goes on properly, like that. You know. And so there's all kinds of roles, right? And different people taking different positions like that. You know? And again, the GBC secretary, what's his role? What should he be doing in different things? Temple president, what should he be doing like that? Sannyasi, what should he be doing? The Brahmins in the community, what should he be doing? The ladies in the community, what should he be doing? Right? There's a French phrase, no man can sink so low that some dog or some woman won't love him. So, see that, no matter how bad things get in ISKCON, ladies are willing to be affectionate to people and say, well, don't worry, Prabhu, it's okay. This Chanhari Krishna is some prasadam. Yeah, you know, come back tomorrow. Because women are like that. They're very compassionate. You know, so on. Okay, so everybody has a different role to play. Right? So what are the roles? Well, read this book and find out. Okay. So it took a long time to digest this book. Right? You've got to eat it. Right? Eat this book. Right? You know, so take a little bit with a lot of chutney. You know, let it sit someplace in the ghee for some fry it in ghee. There we go. Yeah, anything cooked in ghee is good. So fry it one page in ghee, and you can be taste good, right? Yeah, fry it with a lot of maha mantra and a lot of kirtan, a lot of prasadam, and then you can understand. Otherwise, you can't understand. And by parampara, Prabhupada's purports, and chanting Hare Krishna, taking a lot of prasadam, you know, and dancing. Then you'll be able to understand these books. Again, this is a very advanced topic like that, right? Sati and Daksha, etc. Really take it in. Like that, you know. So any comments? You know, comments, questions, complaints? Anubhastita? Yeah.
I
think
what you said,
you
thank you for being such a pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say always. I mean, again, this is for people, this is for initiated devotees, you know, chanting around, following the principles, you know, these stories. So, and probably says it later on. He doesn't talk about it because he expects you to know that, you know. But later on, he says, oh, this was just kind of like a sporting event, right? Then when he says, this, you know, because Bhrigu Muni and all these people had so much power and everything else, they all wanted to kind of show off their strength and stuff like that. And on. So nobody ever took it all that seriously, right? So I left. Sati died. What do you mean died? Nobody dies, you know. He left her body. She'll show up again. Yeah, you know, like that. You know. Prabhu, you just threw sweet rice on his shirt, like that. You know, oh, you threw rice on his shirt. Oh my God! You demon. Well, yeah, it's a big insult. It's a big, you know, throw prasadam on somebody in anger, right? It happens sometimes, right? Amongst devotees, you know. But it's not, you know, they're going to die or anything like that. Like, you know. But so it's a different level of distress and happiness. So Prabhupada says, they all know this. They all know they aren't the body and everything else. But he doesn't talk about it, because as soon as we know this, you know, why are you in this camp? So Prabhupada's public lectures in these things. You know, it's interesting, you read the Srimad Bhagavatam lectures on the verses. They're public lectures. They don't talk about a lot of these subtle points a lot of times. He goes into them. He'll maybe summarize a little bit, and he'll just start talking about in terms of the level of the audience, like that. Because in Bombay, he'll be talking to an Indian audience for the most part. Yeah, like that. Yeah. 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 There's so much psychological discussion here, right? About what people are thinking, right? You know, she was thinking this, but he's acting that way. Sati knows this, but she says that, right? He's saying so much on this level, psychological level. Yeah. So again, it's wonderful, fantastic yoga. They actually just go on reading these things, studying these things. But again, to find your level, really. And Prabhupada says we have to learn Bhagavad Gita with people who are swajati. Everybody develops their own, you know, understanding of basic philosophy like that. Your community is also an organism, right? You know, so every community has to develop its own character, its own nature. This is different than other places, other communities. Even the deity worship, the standards, you know, everything. Right? So in this Rajan Nivas and the deity workshop, he's talking about like all these things and doing that, and he said, but you know, there's so many rules and regulations for the deity worship. But he said, you know, you can't possibly apply them in a standard way for every temple exactly the same way, you know. And so you're going to get a certain kind of local character about when the offerings are made, how much time would a plate come off. Maybe, for example, there's no way to get the offering done before, you know, 12 o'clock or something, or 11 to 12 o'clock, just can't get it done. But the restaurant opens at 12:30 or something like that, you know, 12:15. So they have a Raj Boga offering, but because you have a restaurant, everyone has to, you know, it comes off a little bit earlier, maybe 20 minute offering rather than the full 30 minute, a full hour. The Raj Boga is supposed to be 1 hour, isn't it? I think it's supposed to be 1 hour. No? Fruit and milk are supposed to be
40
minutes. But maybe it has to only be 30 minutes or 20 minutes because the restaurant has to open and you have to get it off the altar before people start eating it. So you ask Spirit, they say, okay, yes, okay. So he said, therefore, when you come to a certain temple, you should understand what the local standard is because the deity is used to that. You know? His deity workshop is very much talking about seeing the deity as a person, you know, and understanding how you deal with a person. That's the most important thing. You know? And then the rules and regulations, you know. And then he says, actually we're very low servants. He said, Mother Yashoda and Rohini are taking care of most of deity worship. You know, seeing the Krishnas bathe and fed and everything else. And our job is kind of very simple, you know, as pujaris and stuff like that. So we should understand what the local Brahmins, and just talk to the local Brahmins, local pujaris, about what's the standard like that and understand that. Mm-hmm. So every community is different in terms of their hearing and chanting, in terms of their deity worship, and in terms of so many things like that. You know, for example, in South America, and in Venezuela, it's the most lusty place I know on earth. You know, like that. And then Grupo Sazonis is the same thing. These people are just very, you know, lusty. You know, it's very common that somebody have, you know, six wives. Well, maybe, you know, that's not common. Three wives and 12 kids. That's common. You know, I've gone through it. Yeah, but loves them all, you know. Very, very, very lusty, very warm-hearted, very simple, very open like that. You know, there's good and bad qualities everywhere. So, but it's just very nature. Lots of free fruit growing everywhere. Bananas are 25 cents, for 30 pounds. And, you know, it's like, you know, well, we'll starve to death. We don't go to work. You know, so, you know, we'll freeze to death. We'll freeze to death. This is the equator, man. If it gets below 74 degrees, you know. And there's fruit everywhere growing, and it's just, you know, if you go, you know, it's just, anyway, it's just like a different world, you know, like that. So, there, you know, the standard of comportment between temple devotees is different than in India, you know. And in India, you know, if a single girl is like, you know, walking down the street with a boy talking, you know, a brahmachari from the temple, but even here, you saw your daughter walking with some brahmachari. You didn't know what's she doing, like that, you know. But especially in India, you know, what's going on, you know, like that, you know. But there, it's nobody thinks twice about it, you know, because people just talk like this and everything else like that. It's just the environment like that. And in Spain, it's different than other countries like that. In Spain, if a boy and girl were thinking about possibly getting married, you know, in India, probably it's all arranged before you ever meet, you know, like that. Before you even know each other, it's arranged usually. You know. But in Spain, okay, you have a chance to get to know each other, to see like you're. You know, we're not qualified to make the match. Okay, you can associate and talk like this in public programs in the temple, but you can't go off walking off together like that and stuff. In Spain, it's a little more, you know, culture thing than other countries, you know, Latin countries. So it's their standard, but it's a local standard. And it's not going to work someplace else. You know. Good. So the community also is an organism, you know, and it has to also figure out what's good hearing and chanting for it, you know, what the standard is, you know, and all of them, if things don't work, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, and abandon your body, right, you know, and if nobody else is, in that condition, Krishna will personally come and associate with you. There's nobody else to associate with you, honestly speaking. Probably this is one place, you think everybody in the Hare Krishna movement is insincere, and you're invited to come and stay in the house of the spiritual master. All right? Yeah. But you may discover that it's a lot easier to stay with these insincere people than just to stay in the house of the spiritual master. You know, 14 hours a day, and then you discover real quick who's insincere, you know, like that, you know, real quick, you know. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, here, comments here. Tomorrow, we'll hear more. Maybe someone's going to class tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll hear more about what Swati is talking on. Well, Shiva is giving us advice here. My dear young wife, so we can label this and distribute it as advice to a young wife. God Sankirtan with this, right? Advice to a young wife. Well, what is that? They just change the name and put the story. This whole thing is change the name, modernize it, put the story in, and become people like look in this region and think, wow, it's incredible, you know? And finally she burned herself to death with gas in the lawnmower. I thought, oh, why? About four or five more pages of instructions from Shiva. So Papa Pete. Yeah. I just want one for Pete. Yeah. So, anyway. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.